Can we give the worship team a round of applause, please? Wow. What a powerful morning of worship. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to dive into God's word together. My name is Jake, and I want you to know that I love you. Today, I'm excited because we're starting a brand new series in a short little book of the New Testament called 1 Peter. In the lobby, you'll find a little workbook like this. This has 11 weeks of devotions as we walk through this book together. We love to just walk through books verse by verse here, and we want to help you own that book. And so grab this book in the lobby. If you already have a copy and you want to take notes on today's sermon, you can turn to page 5 in this book and you'll find the scripture for today and a place to take notes. As I said, we're starting a study in 1 Peter. 1 Peter was written in AD 62 from the city of Rome by the Apostle Peter. And it's a powerful little book. It would have been circulated to churches all throughout an area known as Asia Minor. Today, that's modern-day Turkey. We've called this series Hopeful, because the point of Peter's letter is he's writing to a group of Christians who are living in a very dark time, and he wants them to live lives that are filled with hope. And so over the next couple months, as we go through this book together, we're going to learn what it looks like to live hopeful lives. And I want you to know, friends, this is a powerful little book. I'm so excited to preach through it as I've just been reading it, studying it, putting together the devotion guide. There is so much truth packed into this little book. Today, we're just going to look at the salutation of Peter's letter, the greeting. And what you're going to find is that if this passage were like a river that you could put your hands into, you would pull out gold every single time. It's a powerful little passage. So let me read it to you. It's in the book, and it'll also be on the screen. We'll start in 1 Peter verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen, circle that word, chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray, and we'll dive into this passage together. Father, we love you. And I just want to echo Pastor Wes's prayer that people in this room would be filled with hope today, that your word would unleash just a hopeful spirit for their life, that whatever darkness they might currently be walking in, whatever confusion, whatever fear, whatever anxiety or frustration, that the light of your truth, the light of your presence would illuminate hope in our hearts that goes far beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Father, would you use this powerful little letter to shape our body over the next couple of months? Could you use us to be hope in a dark world? We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. What comes to your mind when you hear that word chosen? When you hear that word, what images does that bring about for you? For some of you, it might be picking teams in elementary, whether that was dodgeball, kickball, or some other game. Some of you were built for that, by the way. Some of you Alec Foltz types were like first and second round draft picks every time, and you knew it. Your only regret was that you didn't get to be captain. Some of you are still in counseling because of that moment. I just want you to know we're praying for you today. We love you. Maybe your wedding comes to mind. Maybe that day where you stood on the stage with the one that you were going to give your heart to before your friends and your family, and you were choosing the person you were going to spend your life with. Whatever comes to mind, that word chosen is one of Peter's favorite words. As you read through this book over the next couple months, you're going to see that word chosen or words like it, called, set apart, handpicked. You're going to see that all throughout this letter as you read through. And that word chosen, what it really means is something like handpicked. It's something that was specially chosen for a very specific purpose. I remember when Hannah and I were going to get engaged and I was shopping for her engagement ring. Now, some women are very subtle when it comes to like letting you know what they want from their man, right? Like ladies, you'll be out at the store and you just kind of give them that nudge or that, that's cute, you know? Fellas, pro tip here, if she says, that'd be nice, what she really means is buy that now, right? Hannah was not subtle whatsoever. She would just like straight up send me messages from her Pinterest, like do not mess this up. This is what I want. And so I didn't really have a hard time finding Hannah's ring. Now, I knew what I wanted to do for her. I had a plan in mind. I had a diamond from my grandmother's engagement ring that I wanted to have built into a ring for her. But to throw her off scent, I just started to mess with her. And so I'd go to Rogers Jewelers and I would get like the jewelry catalogs with all the rings and the bracelets and the necklaces. And I went to the pages with like the gaudiest, ugliest rings that you could find. And then I like ruffled those pages up and like folded the pages in. And then I strategically hid it in my car where I knew she'd find it. And then she opened it up. She's like, oh, I do not want these. And it was just awesome because it was like, I was just jacking with her the whole time. But I knew I wanted to have a ring built for her. And so I needed some help because I didn't know where to start. So I went to my friend Tammy Miller and she told me she has a personal jeweler. I didn't know people had personal jewelers. Tammy does. So if you need one, give her a call. And so I went to meet this guy. His name was Richard Isroff. Some of you might have used him before. Really sweet man. He works out of Java Johnny's. So if you're ever at Java Johnny's, he's the guy with the cases of jewelry there. And we met and we sat down and it was just a weird experience because like I'm in my flip-flops, my khaki cargo shorts and a t-shirt and I'm meeting with a jeweler. Like something just didn't feel right about this. But we met and we built a ring together. And Hannah's ring, while there are other styles like it, is very unique. It's the only ring like it that we know of because it was specially built for a very specific purpose. And that was to declare our love for one another, to symbolize the covenant that we have together. And so when I asked her to marry me, it was a really special moment that ring was handpicked for. And what Peter is telling us in this letter today is, Christian, you were handpicked for a very specific purpose. You were hand-selected for a very special assignment. And so what is the assignment that God has chosen us for? Well, here it is. This will be our main point for this morning if you want to write it down. You were handpicked to live with hope. Peter says, you were handpicked to live with hope. He says in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let me just say this. There are so many people in the world who are living without hope. All you got to do is get on, you know, watch the news, scroll through your Facebook, even come into church this morning doing anointing, talking to people in the lobby. There are so many people who feel hopeless, who feel lost, who feel broken, who feel frustrated by their situation in life, and they feel like they can't get anywhere. They feel like they're just kind of stuck. And so Peter is writing this letter to a group of people who feel hopeless to say, no, 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 you're not hopeless, but God has actually chosen you to be his people who live with hope in the world. So what about these people that Peter was writing to? Peter wrote to a group of first century Christians. And they were living during a time where Christians were very marginalized, very kind of misunderstood and maligned because of their faith. There were a lot of rumors going around about Christians. One of them is that they were like magicians, right? Because they practiced miracles, and so they were doing magic, and Jesus must have been the head magician. Another rumor that was going around is that they were some kind of cult, some kind of family cult, because you leave your mom and dad and you say brother and sister to everybody, and it was just kind of a weird thing. They were misunderstood. Some people thought they were cannibals because they literally took into practice Jesus's words, take and eat my body. And so these people were just kind of marginalized. They were sort of weird. They were fanatical. They were cast to the side. Now, on top of that, the people that Peter is writing to were ruled by a madman named Nero. Nero was the emperor in charge of the Roman world. And if you don't know much about Nero, Nero is like that friend you had who always took things too far. Were any of you have a friend like that growing up? Were any of you that friend growing up where it's like, just take things a little too far? That's Nero. Like, let's go party. Let's get in a fight. Let's burn down Rome. And it's like, whoa, what? That was Nero. Just to give you kind of a glimpse into who Nero was, he had his mom killed because she was conspiring against his rule. He had his wife killed because she couldn't give him a son. And then history says he probably had his second wife killed just because he was bored and he wanted a new wife. This guy was pure evil, and yet he's in charge of the known world. And to make matters worse, he hated Christians. You see, he had this insatiable lust to build. He wanted Rome to be this beautiful, glorious testament to the power of man and the building of man. And when the Roman Senate wouldn't let him tear down the already existing Rome so that he could build a new one, he hatched a plan and he set fire to the whole city. You've heard of the Great Roman Fire. That was Nero's doing. And history says that while the city of Rome burned, Nero was in his palace playing the fiddle and laughing maniacally. And he blamed it on the Christians. And so now these people who were already misunderstood, already maligned, already had these weird rumors going around about them, now they face extreme persecution. And Peter is writing this letter to people who are tempted to lose heart, who are tempted to lose hope. And he says, no, you're not to be hopeless, but you are given a living hope. And church, I want you to hear me. I think this book is so incredibly timely for us to study together. Because how many of you would say, yes, it is so easy to lose hope? Sometimes when I look at the world around me, I feel hopeless, I feel lost, I feel stuck. You know, for me personally, a couple weeks ago when we had the shooting in Dayton, that affected me on a different emotional level than any of the other tragedies have. And I don't know if it's just because it was so close to home. It could be because Hannah and I spend a lot of time in the Oregon District. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to take a Saturday night to go to Ty 9, to go to the Omega Record Shop, to do the press coffee. We spend a lot of time up there, and it just kind of felt very dark, very evil. Another thought is, you know, Hannah's getting ready to have a baby. And I start to think, like, do I want to bring a kid into a world where things like that can happen? And it fills me with this kind of hopeless feeling. And I think it's a really common feeling. I think you can understand. And you might be here this morning feeling hopeless. And I want you to know, be encouraged today because you were handpicked to live with hope. So what is living hope? What does the Bible mean when it says living hope? You see, most of the time when we think about hope, we think of like wishful thinking, like something that probably isn't gonna happen. Like, I hope I win the lottery. Or if you're a Bearcats fan, I hope we beat the Buckeyes. Like, not happening, right? For the non-believer, that's all hope is. It's wishful thinking. I hope things get better. I hope that my job pans out. There's no concrete foundation. There's no ready solution. It's just, man, I hope things come together. But for the Christian, Christian hope is very, very, very different. Christians have a hope that is alive because the Bible says Jesus is alive. He said in verse 3, this living hope was given to you through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Friends, because Jesus is alive, our hope is now grounded in the reality of Christ and his resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, we can know with absolute certainty that God is going to do the things he says that he will do. It's like this. Imagine that your car was broken down in Cincinnati, and you had the choice between calling me and calling Bill Agee for help. Who you picking? I'm not mad. I'm picking Bill too. Like, I'll come, I'll pray with you, you know, might tell you some jokes, but we're calling a mechanic. Like, I'm not gonna be any help. Now, here's the thing about Bill. The reason I'm calling Bill is because I know Bill's going to show up. Like, I just know he's a faithful guy. He always answers his phone. He's always on time. He's always where he says he's going to be. I came here this morning to practice my sermon, and Bill was already here. I'm like, do you live here? Do you just sleep in that little room back there? He's just always here. He's faithful. He's always present. You know when you make that phone call, he's going to show up. And not only that, he's going to be able to do something about it. Like, I might show up, no help. He shows up, he can actually start doing some stuff. And here's the thing. Friend, our hope is based on a God who we know can do something about it, who we know has power, who we know has the ability to do what he says he's going to do. Our hope is not some wishful thinking of, I hope this gets better, I hope this turns out. It is, I know it will get better, I know it will turn out, because he is able and he will do it. And so Peter says, listen, you're to live with that kind of hope, not a wishful thinking, not complaining about the world around you, not bemoaning what's lost and looking back to a time where things were better, not compromising because you don't know what step to take forward. No, you're called to live with hope, he says. He says, believer, I don't want you to live like the rest of the world. The rest of the world lives in fear and anxiety, constantly manipulating their situations so that they can make things work out for themselves. No. I want you to give up control and live with hope. And so he tells us in this passage, three things that give hope to a believer. Three places where we find hope as a Christian. So let's walk through these together. The first one is this. We have hope this morning because he has given us new life. He's given us new life. Let me read verse 3 to you one more time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, underline new birth, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What does that mean? What does it mean that he's given us a new birth? It means that because of Christ's work, there is a new life that is growing inside of us. And with that new life, there's this new outlook, a new lease on life, if you will. So in our house, I just told you, Hannah is expecting a baby, and we are really excited. It has created this new lease on life in our family. There's a little human growing inside of Hannah. It's the size of a macaroon. That's what our little app told us. She got a little macaroon baby. And because of that little baby, I'm starting to do things that I never thought I would do before. For one, I'm changing kitty litter every night. I told Hannah, like, I felt like a parent when we got our cats. I was like, these cats are your responsibility. You will change the kitty litter every single night or else we're getting rid of them. Now the doctor said, that's your responsibility, so that's what I get to do. I'm also talking to Hannah's belly all the time. Never thought I'd be doing it. Like, daddy loves you, you know, just like, daddy loves you, can't wait to meet you, and just talking to this little human. We're going baby clothes shopping, and I'm saying things I never thought I'd say, like, ooh, isn't that cute? Like, can't wait to see my little baby in that, you know? We're baby prepping the house here soon, gonna be putting little plastic covers and little grates to make sure they don't go up the steps, and putting little claw blockers on our cats so they don't scratch them. Like, weird things you gotta think through. But seriously, there's this new lease of life. Like, for me personally, I'm really excited to watch Hannah be a mom. Like, she is just going to, I think she's going to thrive in it. I think she was built to be a mom. I think she's going to be awesome at it. I'm excited to watch our kid grow up in this church. Man, this church has just loved our family so well that I can't wait to see how much it loves our little kid. I just know that it's so exciting to me that there's this group of people that are just going to love on our little baby. Personally, I can't wait to take it on mission trips. You know, I guess that's funny. Some of you need to go on a mission trip. I can't wait for them to see the beautiful faces of people all around the world, for them to just see how beautiful God's people are and how incredible they are. And when you get to see that in other countries, it shapes you and changes you. And so I've had thoughts about taking my little kids to Peru and meeting the other little kids there, and I just can't wait for that. And look, here's what I want you to see. Peter says this new birth that God has given you, you're not the old you anymore. If you're a believer, you have a new life in Jesus. And because of that, there is this new lease on life, this new hope, this new anticipation that just sort of bubbles out of you into everything around you. And so Peter says, listen, I want you to live with that new birth mentality, that new anticipation, that new hope, that new joy. I mean, you no longer have to be haunted by your past, but you get to let go of all those things. You no longer have to be dismally worried about the future and whether or not things are going to work out for you. I was thinking about this week. Christians do all this weird stuff empowered by God's love. Like, Christians just give their money away. They come in here week after week. We give a tithe, we give to missions, you give to needs that you see because you are empowered by the generosity of God's love. Christians meet in homes and they sing songs together and they pray. I bet to the outside world that looks incredibly strange. I thought about this week. I go visit other people's grandmas on a regular basis at the hospital. It's kind of weird, or maybe it is to me. But here's what's really weird. Sometimes they're the best parts of my week. I walk in there, I just get encouraged and I get joy as I get to minister to these people and meet them where they are. Christians are kind of a weird bunch. There's a different zeal about them, a different flavor about them. And that flavor is the new life they've been given in Jesus that overflows into a new hope. And so Christian, hear me. If you're hopeless this morning, if you feel stuck, he's given you a new life. And that new life we're gonna see comes with some guarantees. It comes with some promises, some benefits, some things that he will accomplish. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer and you feel like you want this hope that I'm talking about, I want you to know there is an open invitation into God's family, that it is such a beautiful privilege. How incredible is it that week after week we get to gather with people who are filled with love, who are filled with light, who encourage us, who get to hug us and love us. Church is my favorite part of the week. Because in this place, I get to receive light and hope and joy that I don't get from anywhere else. And it's such a privilege, this new life we've been given. Here's the second thing. We have a new life. And number two, he has given us a new future. If you're going to understand the book of Peter, 1 Peter, you're going to have to get your minds around this idea. So you might want to write this down. It's kind of mind-blowing. You're going to live forever. Are you aware? That you're going to live for a very, very, very long, eternal, everlasting time. Your life will not end. Even though you die, you will live as a believer. And here's why this is so critical. A lot of the times, our hopes get dashed in this world because we think that this world is all we're living for. Like, we try to make the best out of these 80 years that we might be given because we think this is where it ends. But a consistent theme all throughout this book that you're going to find is this. This world is not your home. Amen. You are strangers. You are passengers on a journey heading to a far greater destination. You see, friends, at the end of the day, you were bought by Jesus. And that purchase comes with a guarantee of a forever future. That's the end goal. And I want you to know, you will always be disappointed if your hope is only in this world. But if you are looking with anticipation, with confident expectation for the world that is to come, you can have joy even in the midst of the most painfully dark trials. You see, for Peter, heaven was not just a destination, it was his motivation. Heaven was the thing that was fueling Peter's life. It was the thing that gave him hope to go through each and every single day. It was the thing that enabled him with brave courage to be crucified upside down, history tells us. It's because for Peter, he was living for something far greater than this world. Peter knew what was coming to him. Peter knew that just like you and me, he was going to one day have unlimited access to the presence of God. That he was going to be able to come straight to his throne. That when he comes to God in heaven, he's going to become right into his presence, right before him, with no fear, with no worry. Peter knew that one day he would get a new resurrected body. You know, we had anointing this morning, and some of you prayed for healing, for God to remove some sickness, for him to remove depression or anxiety or these emotional needs. And I want you to know this morning, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can do that for you. But I know that he is guaranteed that one day he will do it. That one day when you stand before him in heaven, the scripture says he will wipe away every tear from your eye. He will remove sickness, sadness, sorrow, and pain forever. And you will get to live with him without any of the old baggage of this world. But but you will be free forever in him. We have a new future. You see, so many of us live this life for this life, but God uses this life to prepare us for the eternity that's to come. And knowing that future is coming, it inspires us to endure whatever life throws our way. You can give me anything. You can give me suffering. You can give me sickness. You can give me joy. Paul says in the book of Philippians, I've learned what it is to have plenty, and I've learned what it means to have need. I've learned what it's like to be sick. I've learned what it's like to be whole. In all things, I can do whatever he asks because of Christ who strengthens me, because I know that I have a future in him. And so Peter says, let it fill you with hope. Here's a third one this morning. We have a new life. We have a new future. And here's a third one. He's given us a new confidence. Let me read verses 4 and 5 to you. It says this. This inheritance that God has given to you, this forever future, it is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Circle that word, shielded. That word means to keep or to safeguard. So through my friendship with Wes, I have also become a record collector. Now, my collection's not nearly his, but sometimes I will borrow records from Wes's library. Now, he is incredibly particular about his records. Every single one is like in this nice little plastic sleeve. And then when you go to borrow him, he's like, now don't forget. And he tells you his whole process for like putting solution on it to wipe it down before you even play it so that it doesn't scratch or get dirt. And I'm sitting there going, man, I don't think this used Bob Dylan album's worth all this trouble. But in his mind, they are incredibly valuable, and so he takes great care to shield them, to protect them. Peter's saying, you are incredibly valuable to your Heavenly Father. And because you are that valuable, he takes great care to make sure that you are protected, to deliver you to this promised future. Peter says, you can have hope this morning, not just because you have a new life, and not just because you have a new future with Jesus, but you can have hope this morning because God has guaranteed that he will see you to that future, that he will shield you all along the way. This week, I started to look at some of the most well-guarded places on earth, places like the White House and Alcatraz and places like the Vatican in Rome. I looked at Fort Knox. Do you know that Fort Knox is guarded by 20-ton concrete steel walls, like a mixture of concrete and steel? 40,000 people, soldiers and their families, live on the site. Like, there's no getting into Fort Knox. Just to go through the vault door, you have to put in a code, but not just one code. There are like 6 or 7 codes that are always changing that have to be put in by 6 or 7 different people at the exact same time. And the reason for that is because what's on the other side of that, the gold, the thousands of tons of gold, is so incredibly valuable, and it has to be well guarded. And church, I want you to know this morning that all of that pales in comparison to God's infinite power shielding his people. Do you know that the church is the most well guarded place on earth? Do you know that in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I give you eternal life, and you'll never perish. No one will snatch you out of my hand. My life, who has been given to them, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Friend, I want you to know, no matter how acute the persecution, you and I will never be lost in the process. That God's hand of comfort and strength, it will remain with us. No matter the calamity, the chaos, the cause of death, the depth of pain, the horror of the catastrophe, he's in control, and he's all powerful. He's all good. He's all knowing. And so that means we can trust him regardless of our circumstances. We can trust him regardless of the outlook, because we know that he is in control and that he has promised to shield us all the way through. And friends, if that doesn't give you hope this morning, I don't know what will. So my question for you is, do you have that hope? You see, Paul wrote this in the book of Colossians. He says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the hope we have this morning is a living hope because Jesus is living in you. And his goal in living in you is to produce an unshakable, rock-solid confidence in God's ability to do what he said he's going to do for you, to give you a hope that he is making you new day by day by day, that every morning you wake up, his mercies are new, to give you a hope that there is a future that is far greater than anything you are currently experiencing. Take your best day on earth, multiply it by 1 billion, and you will not even begin to grasp the reality of what heaven is going to be for you as a believer. He lives in you this morning to give you confidence that whatever comes your way, whatever life throws at you, whatever makes you feel hopeless, he is shielding you. He is guarding you. He is protecting you by the power of his Spirit. That's living hope, and that's yours today in Christ. You were handpicked to live with hope. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Let's just pause right now and lift up different people in this room. I know there are people in this room right now who feel hopeless when they look at their family. They don't know what next step to take. They don't know, God, if you're ever going to make something come out of this situation that they're in. Some people in this room feel hopeless when they look at their finances. Some people feel hopeless when they look at the state of the world and they just get fearful, they get scared. Some in here feel hopeless when they think about their own physical well-being. They're sick of being sick. They're sick of being tired. And Father, they just want some reprieve. And the enemy has this really crafty way of taking all of those different situations and making us feel hopeless, making us feel less than, making us feel like you've abandoned us and we're lost in this world. But Father, we can count on you. You are so faithful, so dependable, Father. You've given us a new life. You've given us a new future. And because of that, we have a new confidence that, Father, you are going to see us through to the end of the journey. And so could those in this room right now who are living without hope, could they be filled with living hope in a fresh way today? Could you pour it on their life without measure so that it bubbles over from their life onto the lives of those around them? Could you take those who are living in darkness and make them into a great light for your glory? We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.